thank the elders and Brother Mike for giving me another opportunity to stand before you and preach the Word of God. I'd also like to thank Brother Robbie this morning for that excellent sermon he gave on heaven. What a wonderful lesson that he gave to us. And as you'll see tonight, it was a wonderful lead-in, hopefully, to what you're going to hear tonight. Heaven being real and our true home, as he mentioned this morning, you're getting a double dose of heaven, and that's always a good thing. He talked about heaven being happy. I took notes. Happy, beautiful, and for happy reunions. And knowing this, I'd like to take a look at what I've chose tonight, and that is about a roadmap to heaven. In a few minutes, we're going to be done with this lesson, but hopefully by the time you've gone through this lesson, you'll be a little bit more prepared. All things have been prepared for anyone that needs to be baptized tonight and for anyone needing to be restored or that needs the prayers of the church. We're going to study, of course, are you ready to go tonight? And we're going to take a look at those preparations. Of course, we almost hear the word first, of course. We must believe. We must repent, confess, be baptized, and be faithful until the end. And only a few minutes from now, that invitation is going to be given. And we'll sing the invitation song, because Christ invites you home. I always like to start out with that, so that if you hear nothing else, you hear that tonight. As many of you know, I, and maybe you too, travel a lot of miles in my work throughout Tennessee. As I travel around to the various hospitals and doctor's offices in towns and cities, I rely on road maps, GPS, and even my past travel knowledge to take me to the right destination at the right time. I pray tonight you'll depart on your journeys more prepared to use the correct roadmap to heaven. Let's take a short look at our preparations for a successful trip to heaven. I've got a few questions that before we get started on our trip. Have you ever been lost? Have you ever had to travel a long distance to meet someone in a city where you've never been before? I do that quite often. I travel all over Tennessee. While traveling to these unfamiliar streets, did you feel like maybe I'm on the wrong road? Have you ever taken a wrong turn? Did you finally decide I'm lost? How can you get back on the right path to meet Jesus? Do not end up getting lost before you begin your journey. So many of us may have felt this way before, that we're lost. Let's take a look at the items that we need, one of them being a roadmap. Find one, you unfold it, you study it carefully, and if you're lost, you obviously desperately want to find out how to get back on that right road. Which way will take me on the right path? We've come to that before. Maybe you've been traveling and you say, if I go this way, is that the right way? I've even had my little iPhone tell me to go this way and my GPS on my car to tell me to go that way. And I don't know which one to believe. So obviously, I don't want to end up on a dead-end path. We're all travelers in this brief life, trying to find our way to heaven. We may have taken a wrong turn and gotten lost from time to time in our past. We all need a roadmap. I tell you, the Bible is our roadmap. Bible simply means book of books. The Bible was written by about 40 different writers: kings, carpenters, farmers, fishermen, soldiers, shepherds, tent makers, and a tax collector. 40 different hands. But the true author of the Bible is our Creator, the Almighty Lord. Remember to listen to what the Bible says. Not me, not anybody else that's man. Listen to the Bible. We're going to study a few of the subjects that some of the passages that we might need to remember. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, it says, "So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." Also in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." In Psalms 12, 6 through 7, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will preserve him from his generation forever." And finally, in Luke 21, 33, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." So, now we're going to look at a few things for our trip. Are you prepared to go? Do you have the right attitude? There's a few passages that may help us with that right attitude. Matthew 6, 7, "And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard from their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." John 15, 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." James 4, 3, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." And finally, 1 Peter 3, 7, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." Also, in being prepared to go, we need to consider our body and soul. Psalms 25:1. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." 1 Thessalonians 5:23. "Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved, complete, without blame, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I ask you, are we thankful every day? Do we thank God for all we receive? If you don't thank God for every day, what do you think that you might find? You might not find as much as you think if you don't thank Him every day. Or if you thank the Lord for all that we receive, you may find a bountiful reward for thanking Him. To be thankful, I'd like to study a few scriptures. In Exodus 23:15, you shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread as I commanded you at the appointed time in the month Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty-handed. 1 Samuel 31:12. All the valiant men rose and walked all night, and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and they came to Jabesh and burned them there. Psalms 116:13. I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Finally, in Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. You go on a trip, do you not plan for possibly to stop and eat something along the way? Something to feed your body, to feed your soul? In this case, you need to find places to eat on your trip. Or in this case, if you're going to make that trip to heaven, you need to be feeding your soul. You need to feed it daily. Plan your meals. You plan your meals daily. You should be planning how you're going to feed your soul as well. In Matthew 6:25, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? John 4:34. Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His word. John 6:55. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. 1 Corinthians 3:2. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you're not yet able. So we must remember to feed our soul when we're preparing for this trip. Well, if you're going to take a trip, I hope you know the directions that you need to take. And again, I'll start out, are you lost before you even begin? In Genesis 3:24, it says, for he drove the man out. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. Even in Job, it says, 37:12, it changes directions, turning around by his guidance. It may do whatever he commands it on the face of the inhabited earth. In Proverbs, it talks in 16:7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Isaiah 40:13, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has informed him? And then finally one more, James 3:13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Well, we're going to take this trip, It may be a trip here in the near future. So what do we need to do? One of the things we need to do is to make reservations for your trip. Are you asking to make a reservation? In Genesis 27:36, it says, "Then he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me to these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" 1 Peter 1:4. "To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Psalms 69:28. "May they be blotted out of the book of life, and they may not be recorded with the righteous." Philippians 4:3. "Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." Finally, Revelation 21:27. "And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life." Well, when we're traveling finally on our trip and we're trying to reach our destination, obviously we need some help. And one of the ways that we do that is through signs along the way. But do you notice these signs? Do you pay attention to what's right in front of you that tells you when to turn this way or that way, or to yield or to do the right thing? The things that might inform us that there's danger in going that way, something that prohibits you from going that way, are the information we need. In Genesis 4:15, it says, "So the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken upon him sevenfold. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one finding him would slay him." Exodus 12:13. "The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I will see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." And one more, Matthew 24:3. "As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Well, now we're on our way. We're on this road, this pathway, using all the tools that we've given. But we still lack one thing. We still lack somebody to give us calls that we're going the right way. A call for assurance that we are on the right path. In Job 24:22. "But he drags off the valiant by his power. He rises and no one has assurance of life." Colossians 2:2. "That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself." And in the book of Hebrews 6:11. "And we desire that each of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end." 10:22. "Let us draw near a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Finally, 11:1. "Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval." okay, as we're about to enter and finish our journey and use all these tools that we have learned about tonight in our roadmap to heaven, I'd like to close with a couple of final points. Many great scholars have believed the Bible a hoax, full of errors, but they have re-examined those evidences from history, archaeology, and the sciences, and they have become convinced that the Bible really is exactly what it claims to be, the living word of the Almighty God. How about you, friend? Have you received the word of God? Are you following the right road to reach God's word in heaven? The Bible is the word of God, not the words of men. Are you lost? Are you ignoring and avoiding the Bible? Are you reading it, believing it, and living it? The Bible contains God's message to mankind. The Bible contains God's promises to us. The Bible contains God's commandments to us. But most of all, the Bible contains God's love for each of us, no matter what we have done. The invitation is here now. And I ask and plead that will you not come as we stand and sing the invitation song.